Well, as I told you a few minutes ago, the Greek world was not united at the time of the Persian Wars. They did not stand as one. They did not share ideas about how to fight the enemy. And as we've seen, they sure didn't share ideas about what should happen after the war. But Isocrates is now inventing a history of the age of the Persian Wars as a way of telling the Greeks, once we were united, let us unite again. Let us put aside our petty squabbling and bickering. Let us unite and fight the great enemy, Persia. And in Isocrates' own lifetime, the Persians had been sort of hired guns by the Spartans. Although, very well may be the case that, as often with the mercenary realizes the person hiring him isn't strong enough already, or they wouldn't need them. And so the Persians were probably in control here. Well, realizing that the Greeks would not bow to their own, they were not going to unify under Sparta, they had enough of that. They were not going to unify under Athens, they'd had enough of that. Isocrates hatches the scheme of having the Greeks unify under Philip of Macedon to go and fight the Persians. Isocrates has a foe in Demosthenes, 384 to 322, the greatest of the Greek orators, indeed perhaps the greatest orator of antiquity. You may know the stories of Demosthenes as a small boy who had a speech impediment, and he went down to the seacoast and put pebbles in his mouth and shouted over the sound of the waves, even with a mouthful of pebbles, until he learned to speak not only correctly, but powerfully and persuasively. Now, we can say certainly that Demosthenes fits in the tradition of the sophists, persons who had learned to use language in elegant ways, in artful ways, but also in ways that would be persuasive. In any case, Demosthenes raises his voice in defense of the autonomy, the independence, the validity of the polis. We could say, what was he thinking? Couldn't he see what was going on in his world? But that was his great commitment. That was his great vision. He also would have wished for a war against Persia. That seems pretty clear. He would have wished for a war against Persia. But unlike Isocrates, who would have invited the Greeks to unify under Philip of Macedon to fight the Persians, Demosthenes saw Philip as the great threat, as the greater threat to Greek liberty. He delivered a series of four Philippic orations against Philip. The point of these lectures, of these orations, was to warn the Greeks that the great danger to their liberty was from Macedon. Now, exactly what Demosthenes imagined was possible is hard to say. Did he imagine that the Greeks would somehow be able to unify under one of the Greek cities or in some kind of an alliance? He even seems to have entertained the possibility that the Greeks might ally with the Persians against the Macedonians, even though he had begun hoping for a sort of a Greek alliance against the Persians. But in the end, neither Demosthenes nor Isocrates quite had it his own way. Amidst this welter of wars, alliances, scheming, ideal states, real states, practical ideas, impractical ideas, Philip attacked. Was he invited to do so by what he could see over his border, these quarrelsome, meddlesome Greeks? Did Isocrates encourage him to come south? Did Demosthenes simply make him mad? It's hard to say. It's hard to say. What we do know is that he attacked. And near the city of Thebes, at Chaeronea, in 338, he won a great victory over a combined Greek force. Now, Philip destroyed much of the nearby city of Thebes, but he demonstrated his sort of cultural proclivities by leaving standing the house of the poet Pindar. Flattened everything else. The Battle of Chaeronea is interesting to us for another reason as well. The attacking wing, the wheeling wing, the cavalry wing, the wing that delivered the victory that day, was led by an 18-year-old boy named Alexander. We'll hear more about him. Well, Philip, having conquered the Greeks, really in one great battle, now created a league. He created a kind of a league. These leagues and alliances and so on have been going on in the Greek world for a long time now. He creates a league with himself at the head. In a sense, he creates a league where all of the Greeks have a vote, and he has a vote, and he has a veto, and they don't. So Philip is basically in charge. in the Greek world. His aim, I think, was to provide peace and order in the Greek world, but I think the kind of peace and order that meant he really didn't want to be bothered by these guys. He wanted to sort of impose peace rather more than elicit peace, because eliciting it was unlikely to work. And then he began making preparations to attack Persia. Now,